Welcome back to a Single Quest podcast, the one-on-one Dungeons & Dragons podcast, with just one DM, just one player character, where we make up the story as we go. I'm the DM, my name is Zach Phillips, and with us as always is our player character, playing as Toby Flutterheart, Mr. Matt Dimitridis. Matt, say hi to the people.
You know who it is, because he just told you. It's Matt.
I love the idea. I like you're a hype man who's like you have the voice to it, but because you're being a respectable human being, you don't have the volume nor intensity ratcheted up all the way. And I think a hype man who's like very medium. Yeah.
You got it.
Check it out. This guy is very good.
He knows what's up. Okay.
It's been a while, Matt, since we've
been able to record. A month, I feel like.
Yeah. Maybe even more. Who's counting? Not me. Thanks for sticking around. You know, a lot of shows, I thought about this, a lot of shows go on hiatus in their last season. Sopranos, the last season, split in half.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Bad left Hank on the toilet for like 4 or 5 months.
That's true. He was just on the toilet. And we haven't talked to each other in over 2 years. And now there's this thing called like COVID. Have you heard of this?
It's nuts. That's right. I forget. That's right. I can't believe. So I'm sorry. I'm ruining the joke. I completely butchered that joke. It was a great setup on your part. But I love the idea that 2 years on, you're going, have you heard of this thing, COVID? That's crazy.
Like we've been recording way before COVID.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put it out there. We're in the same conversation as The Sopranos and Breaking Bad. So obviously. I mean, if you're listening, you know that. That's why you're here.
Sure.
Matt, do you remember how to play Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, I've played it one or two times before, and I feel like I'm a pro at this point.
Cool.
As we've said before.
I'm going to have to ask you, I'm going to try to learn on the fly, if you don't mind teaching me.
Yeah, totally. I've got your back. I will help guide this game.
Can you just, gosh, that's so funny. The idea of that, like, okay, so, like, what do I do? Like, tell me what kind of room I'm in.
You have to tell me what kind of, like, what are there monsters here or traps or anything?
Okay, yeah, there's what kind of monsters?
So, like, say there's, like, a skeleton, like a skeleton.
So there's a skeleton in the room.
Sure.
And you're in a lighthouse. No. Okay.
that would have been a great gimmick episode.
It would have. I've got to get back to committing to bits. There's like 3 bits already in this conversation that I have bailed on early, and that's not how this is supposed to work.
No, okay. That's this episode.
Bail. So, Matt/Toby/audience, when we were last left off, Hingle Dingle is in a post-apocalyptic state. Which looks a lot like its pre-apocalyptic state, in that all the towns are foods, and there's one hero going from town to town doing goofy little misadventures and saving people. But a lot of people are dead, and a lot of those towns are now overrun by creatures from other realms.
No!
So that's why it's post-apocalyptic. Toby has been doing his part to fight against those demons with his sidekick, Korn, who is now a hot tiefling.
Mm.
And in the process, wielding a magical tome, powerful tome called the Book of Words, Toby has been discovering the path forward to eventually, potentially save the world. Most recently, that brought him to the town of Juice, where he was told to eliminate the tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, whether or not he fully understood it or not is still up for debate. But he knew that it ultimately ended with Cranberry, who was a rogue living just outside of town.
Mm-hmm.
And after a long combat with her, Toby was knocked unconscious, but not before he saw a spectral version of Sneera help him ultimately potentially defeat Cranberry. Before telling him, you're so close. With that, Toby passed out. We pick up You don't know how much later, Toby. Waking up in an infirmary of sorts.
Hmm.
Kind of groggily. Eyes open up, your vision blurrily comes into focus. You're resting on a bed in a room with one or two other sick people. What are you doing?
Ooh. Where am I? Sorry. It's been a while since I played this character. He's not a surfer, dude. Who are you people? No,
this becomes a Californian sketch.
I open my eyes. I look around. What kind of room is it? Like a hospital room?
Yeah.
is there anything on the TV?
Big Bang Theory.
No. I went to the bad place. I turn to the people who I'm sharing a room with. Sorry, it looks like I'm peeking. Excuse me. Where are we?
Hmm? Oh, hey. One of the other people in a bed in, like, the hospital gown. We're you know, sort of a medicine place where physicians care for injured and sick people.
Okay, great. So, we're not dead, yeah?
I don't think so.
All right, great. That's a good start. Well, do you know what town we're in?
Juice.
We're in Juice. Okay, good.
You've been out for quite a while. How you feeling? How's that head?
I'm okay. I've been better, but. I'm awake. I'm alive.
Yeah.
Cranberry. Is she... What happened to her?
Oh, she's dead.
Oh.
Big time.
Good. She knew all of the bad guys. She was getting all the tyrants together.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Well, great. Is Juice in a good place right now?
Yeah, we had an election. We now have a giant ant for a mayor.
That's great. I knew he would win the hearts of the people.
Yeah, it was a landslide.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, he ran unopposed, but...
So, of course it was a landslide. Shoot, I reach for the Book of Words.
Make a... Investigation check.
Okay. Seventeen.
You reach and you see that you're wearing like a hospital gown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're, you know, naked underneath, so you don't have pockets or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit up and you look about 10 feet beyond the foot of your bed, there's a little dresser and you see it has a bunch of your stuff resting on it and a few drawers.
Mm-hmm.
So guess it's probably over there.
I'm gonna reach
and as you sit up. This guy's been talking. He's like, hey, "Take it easy, easy."
I get up really.
I should introduce myself. Get up. Make a con save as you stand up.
Yeah, as I'm standing up, I like grab my side and pan. It's a natural one.
Everything goes dark.
I'm asleep for four more months.
Oh God, nurse. You slowly begin to come to once again in your bed. This guy, same person, checking you, like looking over you. He's in a hospital gown, kind of like, hey, hello. Kind of rubbing his hand in front of your face. His facial hair is noticeably longer.
Oh, who are you?
I didn't introduce myself before. My name is... Dr. Gregory House.
Dr. House. you've been taking care of me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You watch as he turns around and grabs something to examine you, and he's fully naked under his gown, so you see his little bottom. He turns back around, he's holding the clipboard.
Doctor.
All right.
I thought doctors were supposed to... I thought the patients were the ones that were supposed to be naked.
Well, I'm not exactly naked, and you know, it's... Don't you dress comfortably when you do your job?
I'm not naked.
It helps me think.
Okay, sure. Well, I mean, I'm alive, so I guess I can't complain.
So you were out for a while. We had another election, and the bug won again.
Unopposed?
Unopposed, yeah.
Why did you have another election, then?
We're thinking about elongating the time between elections, and also requiring that if we're going to have an election, we got to have... we gotta have two candidates at least.
Yeah, I mean, Juice seems like a really flip-floppy town. So elections could be crazy.
They could be if there were multiple candidates. Yeah. You know, I'm not a politician, I'm a doctor. So your vitals look good. Why don't you try standing up again? Let's see what happens.
I try standing up again the rest of this episode.
Make a con save.
Okay. Oh, that's 25.
Yeah, you feel so normal. Like, you feel so fine. Like, you're perfectly healed.
I think that should be in every D&D game, anytime a character stands up, like in real life, if they stand up too quickly, they have to do a con save.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I reach for the drawer, the dresser, and see if the Book of Words is in there.
Yeah, all your belongings are in the dresser.
Okay, good. I flip to the middle page, the last time that the Book of Words changed.
As you rifle through the book, all of a sudden you see just a wall of text appear. Unfamiliar text. And it says, spend 2 days in the temple in the lake of the now liberated town of Juice.
Okay.
After 2 days, a magical horn will appear on the pedestal. Take the horn to a glen. Give it to him. He will give you beans. Eat one of the beans. Take the rest of the beans to a wide open area near no mortals or innocents. Plant the beans. Tell a bad joke. The beans will grow into an enormous, dangerous monster. Slay the monster. Resurrect the monster. Befriend the monster. The rivers will then run rouge, and the sky will be full of cakes that look like Toyota Camrys. Touch your forearm to your spine and say, a penny saved is worth two in the bush.
This sounds very familiar. That's a lot of... I didn't get all of that, so I'm hoping it stays in the book.
Just starts to vanish.
No! Slowly. Glenn! I need to find Glenn! Okay, I need to find the temple.
I tell you what. I will say this. If you roll in a high enough intelligence check, I'll send it to you in our chat. I'll send you that whole wall of text.
Okay.
So that Toby can commit it to memory.
Okay, that was intelligence?
Yeah.
That's a dirty 20.
All right, that's good enough.
All right, cool. So I guess I need to start at the temple. Yeah?
Don't look at me. I just work here.
Excuse me. You live in Juice, right? You've lived in Juice for a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So the temple in the lake, is that where the demon lived?
Yeah. I think.
All right. I need to spend 2 days down there.
You know, I was just going to recommend as part of your regimen, like 2 days in like a temple underwater.
Really?
Could be really good for you.
Have you recommended that to anyone before?
Every patient is different.
Wait, so is this a hunch? Like, this would help me because it's never, you've never done this with anyone before.
Science isn't exact. It's different for each person.
Are you just another patient?
Roll insight.
Nine.
I leave it to you whether or not you think this person is actually a doctor or not.
I think this guy might be just a crazy person who I'm sharing a room with. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, Dr. House, for taking care of me. I feel good as new. I have some important business to tend to. Before
you should avoid. You should avoid. Don't get a haircut for at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great advice, Doc. Have you met my buddy Korn by any chance? He's a really hot tiefling.
Korn is in here every day.
That's really sweet.
He always brings flowers, but the rule is no flowers, so we always have to confiscate them.
He never learns. Do you know where I could find him?
Well, if you stick around here long enough, he'll probably show up trying to bring flowers.
All right, I'll stick around for a few hours, but I really gotta get going soon.
That's an amazing sentence. I'll stick around for a few hours, but I really gotta get going soon.
Yeah, no rush. A few hours, but, you know, got business.
You weren't waiting that long before Korn walks in to the room that you're in.
I pretend I'm asleep. Hey.
Oh, good. I heard he was up. Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah. It's just kind of quiet. Your eyes are closed, you just hear. It's just, you just like feel the two of them just like looking at you, pretend to sleep.
He's not like getting closer or anything. It's, this is a horrible prank.
Finally, he does like kind of, you feel a hand like, in a very familiar fashion, rest on like your hip, and another hand rest on the mattress like near to your head as you feel Korn begin to lean in.
I jump up out of bed, and I tackle him to the ground. I go, ah!
He's caught by surprise.
I gotcha! No, Cord, it was a prank. Hey, buddy! Hey!
Very clearly, the cries of shock turn into like a
oh.
You're up! And he like hugs you, and he's happy to see you.
Korn, it's so good to see you. You've been so good. You visited me so much.
Yeah, I visited a lot because of our special magical bond.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I was in here too for a bit.
Were you?
Yeah.
Did you get hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I blame myself. You shouldn't have had to risk your life. But you were really brave.
Yeah.
So listen, we got new instructions from the Book of Words.
What's that?
It doesn't matter. it's what we're using to give our lives a purpose.
Oh. I was looking for purpose. That's great.
Well, our next step is to hang out in the temple in the lake where that demon was for the next 2 days.
Oh, that's great. I just got Connect Four.
You what?
I just bought Connect Four.
That's great. We needed something to keep our minds occupied while we're hanging out down there.
Yeah. Not in the passage of time, like 2 days worth of games of Connect Four. Just
non-stop Connect Four. The best game to play repeatedly, nonstop. Well, let's get some provisions, enough to last us a couple days, and we'll see what happens. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Leave the hospital. Put clothes on, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again, Doc. I'll see you around.
Yeah, take care. You watch him get back into his hospital bed.
I knew it. Yeah, I put clothes on and head to the store for some food and snacks.
You throw on clothes, you grab provisions, you grab Connect Four, you head for the temple.
That's right.
You get there.
Let's start playing Connect Four and wait for 2 days.
Roll a d4.
4.
Corn also got a 4, so it's a tie. Roll again.
Okay. 1.
Corn got another 4. He wins.
Say it because he got 4.
Yeah.
Do we do this for 2 days?
Yeah. after a while, Corn kind of like, what was it like before?
Before what, Corn?
Before that day when it was raining blood and bad tremors and stuff, what was it like?
Were you... How old are you, Corn? Were you not alive before that?
Well, I think I'm 11.
You're 11?
Yeah, but kobolds reach maturity at like, 9?
Wow.
No, 9 months.
9 months? I had no idea. Oh no, so you're pretty old, huh?
Well, now I'm a tiefling, so I guess I don't know how old I am.
You're barely a year old. You're not even half a year old as a tiefling, huh?
No, I'm a couple weeks old. 2 elections.
I didn't realize it was 2 weeks. Well, before, the world, the sky was blue.
Wow.
There were animals and fauna and forests that were teeming with life. The gods roamed the earth. Hingle Dangle. There were people who were kind to each other. There was very little strife. And when there was, there were good people who were trying to make things right. And I'm sorry that you were born into a world where you didn't get to witness that. But I think that you have witnessed a lot of good that's still out there. And that gives me hope. And that's what keeps me going with this book of words.
What does strife mean?
Strife is troubles. It's when... You know when you have trouble remembering things?
No.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's you.
Yeah, maybe I just remembered incorrectly. Well,
it sounds like it.
Strife is when people have troubles, and
okay. Not sure why you're telling me that.
Have 2 days passed yet?
2 days pass. Not the most electric gameplay of 2 days, but 2 days do indeed pass. Before you watch, on the pedestal of this temple, appears out of light itself a large horn. Like a horn of a bull that's been hollowed out and carved into an instrument.
Okay. Can I check for traps?
Yeah, roll investigation.
18.
You see that there are no traps.
Okay. I'm going to grab the horn. And I'm going to turn to Corn. And I say, Corn, I have the horn. Let's go find a glen.
Hey. All right, you found a horn. That's great.
We got to find a glen now. If I remember correctly, glens live near brooks. So, we just have to find one of those and we'll find a glen, I'm sure.
I will help you trek for a brook.
Great. We head to the forest and I guess we'll start searching.
Give me a survival check and you may do so with advantage as Corn helps.
Okay. Okay, first roll was good. Putrid 20.
Nice. It's a few more days of adventuring through some treacherous wilderness and getting lost more than once before eventually you do find a babbling brook. And she tells you that there is actually a dale nearby. And just beyond the dale, she knows that there is a clearing where there's a glen.
Okay. So we'll pass by Dale. I misheard. And we'll go down to the clearing where the glen is.
You follow her directions to a T, and without issue, eventually you come to a massive, ugly, giant creature, which you know to be a glen.
Is it the same glen? Or is it a different glen that I've met before?
Looks similar.
I don't want to be racist. Hi, Glenn?
Yeah?
Hi. I have this horn from a temple that's underwater. And I would love to give it to you in exchange for some beans.
My beans. Course.
Uh-huh.
Hero's always approaching me with long-lost magic horns and hopes to trade them for my beans.
Well, you are kind of known to trade your beans for horns.
Yeah.
I've met a Glenn before. I don't know if you're the same one, but it was years ago. So, people change.
My name's Glenn Close.
Okay, I don't think that's the... I don't think Glenn Close is the same Glenn.
I've met a bunch of young, scrawny, pipsqueak adventurers. Listen, I'd love to give you my beans, but I gave them to my daughter.
Oh? Where's she?
River is her name.
Oh. Okay, where can I find
she
River?
She lives... She lives in a desert.
Just a desert? Is there a desert nearby?
Yeah, it's over beyond that glen.
There's another. Okay.
If you head up that glen, you'll head past a dale.
Okay.
Beyond the brook. And then in the desert, you'll find my daughter, River.
I'm going to go to the other Glenn, and I'm going to ask him if he has any beans to trade.
Make a survival check for finding the other Glenn.
Okay. There's so many Glens out here. Do I do it with advantage with Corin or no?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not great. 12.
You head and you find a Glenn campsite. But you don't see a glen there.
Do I see any beans?
Make an investigation okay. check.
24.
You head to his campsite and you start looking around this glen's area. and you see that there's an unlocked chest, like a big something that you'd be at like the foot of a bed or something.
Sure.
Unlocked, and you open it up, and there's a like coffee can that has a note scrawled on it, and it says, "Beans, do not take unless you leave a magic horn."
I'm gonna leave this magical horn next to the beans. I don't even know. Can I check to see if the horn is magical?
Sure, you want to make an arcana
check?
Sure,
I want to make sure that what I'm leaving is a magical horn. 19.
Yeah, you as you study, you see the faint outline of magical runes around the mouth.
Okay, cool. Part. Do I know what it does, by any chance?
You would have to use a spell for that.
Okay. I leave it next to the beans, and I take a bunch of the beans, and I'm going to eat one of the beans.
Make a constitution saving okay. throw.
14.
As soon as it hits your mouth, it's this horrible taste. This just like dry, like stale taste. Just like you've eaten something bad, and it just washes over your mouth, and you can feel the solid bean travel down your esophagus, and as soon as it's into the warmth of your stomach, you feel your legs turn to jelly and you fall unconscious. Blearily, your eyes come into view as you see, leaning over you, a familiar Dr. Gregory House. Oh, beard a little bit longer.
Why did they take me all the way back to juice?
he's got a button that says re-elect his bugness.
How long have I been out, Dr. House?
Your buddy Corn sprinted here with you on his back. That was about 7 minutes ago that we got you into the bed.
God, Corn, where are the beans? Do you have the beans?
Corn holds up a little pouch. He held on to the beans.
Okay. We have to go back to the desert. Okay? Because we have to go to a wide open area where no mortals or innocents are.
Okay.
Let's
go to the desert!
Yeah, Dr. House, thank you. I get dressed.
Hey, take care, yeah.
Yeah. Is there another re-election happening?
Number 4.
I thought you said you would take longer. It's been a day.
I'm not in charge.
I know, but... You're right. I don't know why I'm asking you.
Listen, I'm happy with the guy. I'll keep voting for him.
There's a thing called, like, voter exhaustion. Like, you don't have to...
You know what? Honestly, between you and me, I think we were under the thumb of oppression for so long, we're really excited to voice our democracy.
Yeah.
To have our say, even though we're all in agreement that we like the guy who's in there now.
That checks out.
You know what he's had time to do? Nothing. Campaign.
Yeah. That's it. But you like him anyway. All right, man. Well, good luck with everything. And I'm going to head to the desert.
Thanks a lot. Okay. You walk to the desert.
Okay. I'm going to make sure...
Past the brook.
What was that?
Past the brook, over the dale, around the glen.
Yeah, around the two glens. I'm going to make sure that no one's around. And then I'm going to plant some beans.
Okay, give me a perception check.
Okay. That is a 13.
13. You don't see anybody nearby.
All right, cool. I plant the beans.
Okay.
Oh, so before I do, I go, River? Okay. I play at the beads.
Okay. You just bury him?
Yep. And then I'm going to go... I'm going to say... I spilled spot remover on my dog. Now he's gone. And I'm going to back up.
You watch as the ground, the sand of the desert, almost seems to harden into stone before it cracks. And as it does, light emanates from underneath this horrible red beam of energy. You sense something moving, and as the ground cracks once more, you watch as it spirals outward. This whole area now instantly dried up from sandy desert to, you know, cracked dry dirt. More solid in form until each of its... all the surface is getting split apart by this light. And you watch as this mound grows from underneath. The shape roiling underneath. You can almost see through the cracks where the light is coming through a thick, gooey membrane. As though there's something quickly being grown in a cocoon on the inside. As it roils around before finally... whatever this thing is... yanks itself from the earth. You watch as the entire area surrounding you, acres, is just ripped up, the ground torn apart, revealing uneven sandy shale bits of uneven bedrock beneath. That's the word I was looking for. And as you are knocked prone along with Corn, you quickly pull yourself to your feet. You see a gargantuan creature. 70 feet tall.
Oh my god.
Giant spines along its back. An enormous club tail. Arms like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but much longer. Not enormous, but much longer arms. Muscular, covered in armor. Tiny, beady little eyes. Enormous fangs and horns. As this creature bellows. And you feel this horrible wave in your stomach. Toby... you grew up reading about adventures. You know adventures. You know monsters. You know lore. Your heart sinks in your stomach as you realize that you are being asked to slay, resurrect, and then befriend, each of them seeming like their own challenge, because this is a Tarrasque.
No! No, I dig up the beans. I don't want that.
So for those who don't know, Tarrasque is a CR-30 monster. That means in the D&D rules, CR, the way they describe it, is that four players of that level, it should be a challenge for them to fight it. And it only goes up to level 20. So Toby by himself and with Corn is going to have to slay a CR-30 monster.
Okay.
So.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's where we're going to call it. We're going to pick up with that. So maybe get a little strategy going.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, thanks. Oh, god damn it. What? A Tarrasque?
Yeah.
I'm one guy. until next time. I had a skylight installed in my house. My upstairs neighbors were pissed.
Woke up one morning, everything in my house was stolen and replaced with an exact replica.
I have a map of the world. It's to scale.
How can you tell when you run out of invisible ink?
How? Oh.
That's good.